Good morning. I hope your morning has been good for you. We have with us Ted Williams, but he's taken just a little bit of a break, and he'll be back in a few. So hang in there, and we'll be talking more to Ted. Some very interesting information that he gave us in the first hour, and we'll have him back here shortly. I put together a bunch of things about, you know, Labor Day is just, 3 days away? I don't know when it is. I've got it right here. It's the first Monday of every September. So Labor Day will be, let me pull it up here on my phone, and I'll tell you exactly what the date will be. The first Monday was yesterday, or this week. No, that's not right, is it? September, the first Monday will be the 6th. So next week is, as you all know that live here in Marion, next week is the beginning of the Popcorn Festival. Much to our mayor's chagrin, he's concerned about COVID, and I can't say I blame him. I am too. I am. This may be the first year since I've, it'd be the second year because I didn't go last year, but this would be the second year, but the first year that it was on, that I probably am going to pass this year. I love the Popcorn Festival. I was on the committee for, 5 years, something like that. I love the Popcorn Festival. I love what it does for Marion, drawing in, well, they claim 250,000 people over the 3 days. I'm going to pass. I'm, 75 years old. I've had my shots. I haven't had my booster yet. I'm going to get my booster, I think, sometime this month, or at the end of this month. I think I will have 6 months out of having my second shot. So I'm going to try and get my booster. My wife is more afraid of it than I am. I'm not terribly afraid of it. I just try to be careful and stay away from other people. My wife is terrified of she's terrified of shots, but she's more terrified of getting COVID. So anyway, the 6th will be Labor Day, and then I believe the very first event for the Popcorn Festival is the following Thursday, which is the 9th, which is when they will have the parade. I loved doing the parade. Now, I did have one time when I was doing the parade, Randy, who owns that ancient but in great shape fire engine, Randy loaned us his fire engine, 3 or 4 years in a row. We loved riding on it. Well, on the back of the fire engine, that's where I stood and rode, and I jumped up there to get on the back and get stuff arranged for the beginning of the parade, and I let go of the handle or the bar, and I stepped back thinking I only had a couple of feet down, and I fell smack dab on my derriere and banged my head and hit my back and knocked the wind out of myself. But I was with a bunch of younger people, and I didn't want them to think I was hurt, so I jumped up as fast as I could, said, I'm all right. Boy, I hurt for a week or two after that. But I was alive, didn't break anything, didn't kill any myself, and things worked out okay. Labor Day always comes on the first Monday of every September. But there are a lot more holidays than extra days off from work. I'm trying to read this, and it's telling me about Labor Day, and I don't understand it. But basically, what it says is it's a day, the last day for the beach and for barbecue. I can have barbecue any day of the week. I can have barbecue on February 2nd. Oh, by the way, speaking of the 2nd, today is the 2nd of September. Happy birthday to my son, Andrew. He's 40 today. The big 40. My wife told me that last night, and I went, he can't be 40. He was playing baseball 3 weeks ago, wasn't he? my youngest son. And probably my best athlete, even though all three of my children were college athletes, Andrew was an All-American baseball player. So he was probably my best. And he's the only kid I know that was 5'11" that could dunk behind his head. So he had all, he was given all that talent. Now his grandmother probably gave him some of that. His grandmother was in the Olympic trials back in 36, back with Jesse Owens. She didn't make it, but she was quick enough to be invited. So he got his speed from his grandmother, I guess. All three of my children are very fast, or were very fast. Okay, we got a phone caller. Let's go to the phone, see what we got going on, all right? Hi, you're on the air.
Hey, God, it's George.
Hi, George, this is Glenn Coble. We're on the air. How you doing?
He sent a message to Joanne for me to be there at 6 o'clock.
Okay, well, that's probably when he wants him. He's not in the studio right now, or I'd
Okay, are you still in the building there with the... on the corner?
No, we're at 523 South Prospect Avenue. So, you know where Prospect divides? One goes out Route 4 and the other one goes back to Delaware?
No.
Okay. Well,
yes, you do. 523 South Prospect.
Yeah, yes. Joan's got it. Joanne's got it.
Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right. George Kasotis, great man. He knows everything about... if you want to know anything about Marion, ask George. George and... there are probably half a dozen people like that. I have one of them on the air with me the third Thursday of every month. Fred Malone gets on, and he's just a wealth of knowledge. But George has been around in Marion a lot longer than Fred. I envy people that can remember all that stuff. George remembers, you know, people that he went to grade school with, and George is many years my senior, so a good man. All right, anyway, here's a fact that you probably know, but I'm going to read it to you anyway, about Labor Day. Labor Day is considered the official end of summer, but don't get panicky. It's not really the official last day of summer. This year, the last day of summer will be September 21st. That does change a little bit depending on the moon and the sun and whether the weatherman wakes up on the wrong side of the bed or not. I don't know, but sometimes it's on the 20th, and sometimes I think it might go as late as the 22nd. But this year, September 21st is the final day of summer, and that's supposedly the last time you can catch good waves and good rays. And have you ever tried to surf? I went out to California when I was, I was in the Army, I tried to surf. And if you want to see an embarrassing moment, nobody had any pictures of it, but I was the worst surfer in the world. Now, I was a good athlete, but I couldn't get up on that board to save my soul. I'd start and I'd paddle and I think I was moving, and once I got moving, I'd try to jump up to my knee and I'd be in the water. Now, I'm not a big fan of being in the ocean anyway. You know, there are other critters that live in the ocean, like sharks and barracuda and whales. I don't want to deal with any of those. When I was in Hawaii with the, who was I with in, yeah, I guess I was in the, I was with one of my basketball teams. We were in Hawaii. I went snorkeling, and I told the guy, I said, I want to stay away from sharks and stuff like that. And he said, well, stay close to the shoreline. Don't go out there where the surfers are, because there will be some sharks out there. And he said, none of them will bite you. They're not bad sharks. Yeah, what's a good shark and what's a bad shark? Anyway, So I was paddling along. I completely forgot about currents under the water. And I all of a sudden realized I was at a lot deeper depth than I had started. And I came up to the surface, and sure enough, I'm right next to some of the surfers. I never got out of any body of water quicker than that day, because when I went back in the water, I noticed there was, I guess it was probably a little, it looked like a gar. If you know, freshwater people know what gar look like. It was probably a little baby barracuda or something like that. I saw that fish, and I was faster onto the shore than that fish could have made it onto the shore. I'm not a big fan of rubbing elbows with sharks or any other, for that matter, any fish. I'm a little leery when I change the water in my aquarium. I don't really want to touch the fish. I have learned, though, being an old fisherman, I'm old, I'm not really a fisherman, but having gone fishing many times, I have learned to take fish off the hook. I never had a problem with putting a worm on the hook, but I always had a problem taking the fish off the hook. But I've gotten better about that. But anyway, you know, the first Labor Day holiday was celebrated on Tuesday, September 5th, 1882. That was in New York City in Union Square. And it was sponsored by the Central Labor Union. You know, good PR for the labor union. And they were all the unions at that time were looking to get new members and that sort of thing. And we were trying to be more democratic with people that didn't have any money and people that were struggling a little bit, and that's one of the ways that they got awareness of the Central Labor Union was to celebrate a new holiday called Labor Day in New York City. You know, what better place to do it than in New York City, in Union Square? According to NBC, U.S. workers punched in an estimated 1,790 hours per year. That's a lot of punching. The average worker apparently punches the clock. And a lot of places, they don't punch clocks anymore. You just go in and hit the computer that you're in. But 1,790 hours per year. That's a lot of work. I struggle to get up two days of the week to get in here. Now, I must say, though, the reason why that is because my wife makes me work so hard around the house. She's not listening, so she can't deny that. My puppy dog makes me walk all day. You know, I got the new puppy dog. I call him my executive producer for my show. My new puppy dog is, I think, 3 years old, and he has learned how to train adults. He gets me out. Let's see. We go out first thing in the morning. It's right around 6 o'clock. Sometimes he gets me up earlier than that. Then I'm not real happy, but I can do 6 o'clock okay. And then we go out right after I have my quick breakfast at about 8:30 for just to go out and sniff the backyard, find out what bunnies had run through the backyard. And then we go out right after noon, right after eight dinner or lunch. He has to go out then. Then he has to go out at 6 while, you know, after I've fed him at night. And then he has to go out at 8. And then he has to go out at 11. Now, if he goes out at 11 and doesn't do his business, that means he's going to wake me up at 3 or 4 o'clock. I don't like that. But anyway, I've gotten, you know, I don't know if you know this. I have mentioned it several times. But I walk about, I don't know, I walk about close to an hour every day. I either walk 2.25 miles, or I push my lawnmower. Whichever takes an hour, that's what I do. And I push the lawnmower until the snow hits the grass, and then I walk on my treadmill for an hour. So that's what I do. And but now with this dog, and I've only had him for about a month and a half, with this dog I'm putting in, we walk around about 2.5 to 3 blocks every time we go out to go potty for the puppy. And we do that every time, all those, 5 times that we go out. So I'm getting in an extra hour, an extra mile. I hope that helps me lose a little bit of weight. It hasn't so far. I went to the doctor's office last week. I was darn close to the highest I've ever been. I think, you know, during COVID, we kind of just lounged around the house. We didn't. Now, my doctor told me a lot of people lost weight during COVID because his supposition was that people quit going out to eat, so they were having to eat at home and weren't used to it. Now, at my house, it's the order of the day that we always eat at home. I cook about, 1, 2, 3, 4. I cook about 5 of the meals every week. No, I cook about 7 of the meals every week, and my wife cooks the other ones. My wife is a much better cook than I am, but I do have certain things like steaks and eggs. I'm good at flipping eggs. What else am I good at? Oh, I do a really mean stir fry, chicken stir fry. Those are my masterpieces, and I can do those things. And my wife has been a little under the weather for the last week, so I've cooked a little bit more, helping her out. I'm a good guy. I help my wife out. Now you know what my life's all about. Not a whole lot of fame and stuff. Speaking of that, we were really toying with the idea of having football on here on this station and doing Harding High School for the last 8 weeks of the season. You know, the first two games are non-conference, and we're going to do every game after that, home and away. And I kind of begged off of it. I was not feeling comfortable with broadcasting football. I haven't done it in about 3 or 4 years, and I just didn't feel comfortable. Plus, my wife now has to stay at home with the puppy dog because he's not used to being home alone. Without my wife as my statistician, I was really uncomfortable with doing it. So I guess we're probably not going to be doing Harding football. But there are 2 or 3 stations in the area that are doing all sorts of sports. So I hope you'll get your sports on by listening to those stations when they're doing live games. It's always great. I've done both play-by-play and color for football for, been at least 35 years, something like that. I like doing it, but it's a lot of work. A lot of people think, oh, all you do is go and talk. Well, that might be true for some people, but I'm one of those people that if I'm not pretty well prepared, I feel very uncomfortable. And so I usually spend... if it's a high school football game, I usually spend about 4 or 5 hours in preparation, which means I look up all the stats, I pull down all the rosters, I make myself a chart so that I know who's playing, who the starters are, that sort of thing. I look at their past records, and that's kind of what I do just to get going. And then... I have to go do the game, so you have to get there about an hour and a half early because you have to set up all the equipment, and then you're at the game for about 2.5 hours, and then the drive home if it's an away game. So let's say you're putting in 9 hours a week. And at the price that they were paying me, I was making less than $10 an hour, way less than $10 an hour. So anyway, I kind of begged off of it. I hope you don't mind. It would have been nice, and I really thought that it was important to do all of the Harding High School games. It would have been important, no matter what team we picked, to do as many of them as we could, home and away, because, you know, people like to listen to the away games more than the home games, because if they really want to listen to the home games, they'll go to the home field. So we were going to do all of them, but I think we're begging off, all right? Something just popped up on my screen, which I have to disregard, which I just did. All right. Can you take a stab at the top grossing movie opening on Labor Day weekend? Just guess. And now this is according to Box Office Mojo. And quite frankly, I don't know what Box Office Mojo is, but they sound like they would know, right? What do you think the top grossing movie was on Labor Day weekend? And not this Labor Day weekend, because we haven't got there. Not last weekend, last year, because there probably weren't very many shows that were on last year at this time because of COVID. I'm talking forever. The top grossing show on Labor Day weekend. It was Halloween in 2007. Halloween, the movie. I really didn't like that movie. I, matter of fact, I only saw a part of it because I didn't like it that much. But Halloween in 2007 brought in $30,591,759. It's a pretty healthy payday for a horror flick. me. Oh, did I hope you tuned in with Fred Malone and I last, what was it, last week? Yeah, no, 2 weeks ago. We were talking about movies, and we really got into a lot of the old horror movies, like The Tingler and Them and House of Wax and Cabinet of Dr. Caligari, all those. And we're going to do more of it because we just barely scratched the surface. So the third Thursday of September, we're going to do more of the movie stuff. And Fred knows everything. He works at the Marion Historical Society, but he knows everything about everything. Now, he knows a lot about Malabar Farms. I don't know. Have you gone to Malabar Bar Farms? I haven't been there yet, but my wife and I are going to go. The man that owned Malabar Farms, oh, sure, I knew I'd forget it at this point. Anyway, he was a writer and considered as good as Hemingway at his time. And I'm trying to look up his name. That's really bad. When you get older, you kind of forget a lot more things. Now, I'm trying to look up Malabar Farm State Park. Okay, here we go. Let's see, who was the owner? sure, they aren't going to tell me. Here it is. Broomfield, yes. Louis Broomfield. He was the owner of Malabar Farms. He was quite a green farmer at the time when green wasn't cool, right? And he was also a writer. He wrote a lot of stuff at Malabar Farm. One of the most famous things that they had at Malabar Farm was the wedding between Humphrey Bogart and Lauren Bacall, May 21st, I think, in 1945. I watched a show on him and on Malabar Farm that was on WOSU. And it was very, very interesting. Now I'll be able to talk with Fred about Malabar Farms and at least not sound as stupid as I did sound when he was talking to me about Malabar Farms. Anyway, we are going to continue on. Let me see if I can get my phone to close down, because it's going to close down on its own if I don't do it soon, because my battery is running out. All right. Creators decided to pick the first week of September to honor Labor Day because, why do you think? Now, this is kind of a vague reason, but they decided to pick it because it was between the 4th of July and Thanksgiving. There are a lot of days that they could have picked between the 4th of July and Thanksgiving. Way more than, I don't know why it came down to the first Monday of September, but that's what it says right here. I've got the black and white proof that that's why they picked it. Anyway, oh, hey, by the way, when we go into the next hour, we're going to have Swap Shop. So if you got some stuff to get ready, we've got about 20 minutes before the end of this segment, and then we take about a 15-minute break. So in 35 minutes, have all the stuff that's down in your basement and in your garage organized so that you can tell us what you want to sell. Now, we do like to limit it to about 4 items, but we'll be glad to put it on the air. You call the radio station, and I'll give you the phone number so you can write it down. So if you want to call, I'll give you a couple minutes here before I give you the phone number so that you can go get that pen and pencil. You'll give us a call, and what you do is you call in and you say, I've got a, and fill in the blank. Let's say I've got a pair of cross-country skis that I'd like to sell. You can tell how much, you know, okay, I've got a pair of cross-country skis that I'd like to sell for $20. I have boots that go with it. I would sell both of them for $30. And if you want to get them from me, and then you give me your phone number. And we put it on the air, and hopefully we get rid of some stuff. Last week we had, I think, 4 people that called in to get rid of stuff, and we also had, I don't know, half a dozen announcements that have come in across the mail. You're welcome to do that too, by the way. If you have an item that you want to send us, just send it to 523 South Prospect Street here in Marion, Ohio, 43302. Okay, send it there, and make sure you include all that information so when I'm reading it on the air, I can give it out. And we'll also do, you know, I had somebody call in. He was looking for something. I can't remember what it was, but let's say he was looking for a small sailboat. Well, no, we don't do sailboats because they have to be registered. He was looking for a small scooter, for a kid, you know, a push scooter, not one that you have to register. I'm picking some bad choices here, but you have an item that you want, you can also call that in and say, I would like such and such an item. And if you have one, I know, I had a guy call, he was looking for split wood. He was looking for somebody to sell him split wood because he kept his house warm with wood. And we're coming up to, the cooler season. As a matter of fact, this morning when I walked Buddy on his walk at 6 o'clock in the morning, it was 55, so I had to put a little jacket on. But anyway, you call in and say, he called in and said he was looking for split wood. Come on. He gave his phone number, and I hope he found some. He wanted it at a decent price. He was willing to pay for it. So hope he found some. But or if you have a garage sale and you want to announce your garage sale, or you have a church event that's going on that you'd like to announce, give us a call. Tell us where, when, and if you have information that you give out over the phone, you can give us a phone number. So we do all that sort of stuff. And so if you're interested in doing that, our phone number, are you ready? I gave you enough time to go get that pencil and paper, didn't I? If you're willing to do that, give us a call at 740-383-9944. Again, that was 740-383-9944. excuse me for stopping here. Occasionally I get a breaking news that comes across on my phone, and I like to look at it. And sometimes it's important. This one is not. Quite often they are not very important. And so anyway, let's continue on a little bit about Labor Day. And I will continue on into the... I have some stuff here that we can talk about during Swap Shop about Labor Day. But do you know how it takes U.S. workers, United States workers, about 25.4 minutes to get to work, according to NBC News? So if you're going to work and it takes you a half an hour to get to work, it takes you longer than most people or the average person. But if you're like me and it takes me about 10 minutes to get to work, I'm way closer to my work than the average person. 25.4 minutes. Now, the longest commute that I ever had was when I was in Chicago working at DePaul University as an assistant athletic director. I would take... this is quite a saga. You better sit down in an armchair and get ready for a story here. I would wake up, I don't remember what time it was in the morning, but pretty darn early. I would go out, get in my car, and head north from Valparaiso, Indiana, which is where I lived when I worked at DePaul. I'd head north about 20 minutes and get to what is called as the South Shore Line. And the South Shore Line was an electric train that ran from South Bend, Indiana to Chicago. And I would wait there a few minutes. Sometimes I would get there too late and I'd have to race the train to the next stop. Sometimes it worked, sometimes it didn't. If it didn't, I drove into work. But if... let's say I got there in time and I got on the train, then the train ride would take us, I don't know, maybe just a little over an hour, maybe an hour and 10 minutes. Yeah, it took at least an hour and 15 minutes because we had to stop at all the stops on the way into Chicago. We'd stop at Gary. We'd stop at Hammond. We'd stop at East Chicago. We'd stop at, just a bunch of stops. And by the time we got to Chicago, I still had more to do as far as transport, as far as commuting. I would get off the South Shore, walk up onto Randolph Street, walk over to the elevated, so I'm doing some walking as well. The L was about, 3 blocks away from where I got off. Walk up the stairs, get on the elevated, wait for the elevated, and pay my bill for the L, to ride the L, and then get on the L and ride out north about, 10 minutes, not even that, but it was a pretty short ride, maybe 2 miles, but they stopped at all the stops too, so it took about 10 minutes, something like that. Then I'd get off of the elevated, walk down the stairs, walk north a block, and then walk west 3 blocks, and I'd be at work. It took me, on the days that I took the train, it took me about 2 hours one way, 2 hours and change one way. When I drive it, it only took me about an hour and a half. But there was always the thrill of not knowing whether you were going to make it because you might get killed in Chicago traffic. If I drove it, I took the Skyway over the south end of Lake Michigan and drove up through South Chicago went by the Museum of Science and Industry and out onto the Outer Drive. And that was a pretty easy way to get to work. But it was a long, long haul. So I would spend, on average, probably 4.5 hours going to and from work every day. Now, the one nice thing about it is I had an athletic director who was a priest and very understanding, and they weren't paying me very much, so he had to be understanding. The priest, Father Bob, would, whenever I got there, I got there, and whenever I had to leave, I would leave. That's the way it was working. And Father Bob would greet me, and we'd spend a day, and then I'd get back on the L, or get back, start my saga again, and head it home. Now, if we had a game, some sort of athletic event that I had to attend, I would take that same route. But the trip home was quite often on what a lot of South Shore riders referred to as the vomit comet. Because when you would get on the train at midnight, and I think that was the last train out of Chicago was at midnight, and when you get on it, occasionally there were, well, almost every time there was a drunk, and quite often they were so drunk, there might be stuff on the seat next to them. It was quite an adventure, and I really, really, really loved that time. The commute on the way in, I would do my work that I had to get ready for, and then on the way out, quite often I would stop at this place right at the South Shore station, that there was a bar there, and you could go to the bar, and they would put a drink in a white styrofoam cup so nobody could see what you had. It looked like you had a cup of coffee. Well, I'd get two of those on the way home, and it was usually not coffee. Anyway, I had a great time. I really enjoyed doing that. I have great memories of it. There was one time I had a drunk on the L want to roll me, and he was so drunk, we went around a bend, and he fell down and passed out. So I had some interesting tales on the trip. One time when I was driving home on the Lakeshore Drive, I was on the Dan Ryan, there was a car on fire, and I mean it was on fire, fully engulfed, and I was on the lane right next to that car. And thank goodness the cars that were in my lane picked up the speed, so you got by that car before you blistered the paint on your own car. So, yeah, there were all sorts of things. I may have just jumped off onto a whole bunch of transitional stuff that I really wasn't planning on talking about today. All right. Let's see. I'm trying. Oh, thousands of moms will go into labor on Labor Day. And that's not what it's named after. But thousands of moms every Labor Day go into labor. About 10,829 babies were born last year, according to the U.S. Center for Disease Control and Prevention, on Labor Day. That's kind of wild. If that happens every year, 11,000 new citizens are born on Labor Day to American moms. How nice. I do have one child that was born on the 2nd today, I'm guessing that Labor Day might fall on, his birthday might fall on, let's see, it would be, the 2nd would be, okay, maybe if the 2nd was the, what is it, the first Monday of September, that might, his birthday might come on Labor Day. I've never thought about that. He is in the middle of Labor Day today because he's a vintner, as I've told you before. He makes wine. They have a vineyard right out his back door, and then they have other vineyards that they get wine, grapes from. He makes wine. So they're in the middle of harvest right now. They're harvesting the Pinot Grigio, something like that. it's the wines, it's the grapes that are right outside his door. I think the vineyard that they have outside his door, the ones that are closest to his door are this type, and the ones that are farther away are a red grape, and the Pinot Grigio, something like that, is a white wine, and very good too. And might as well get a plug in, right? He's not paying, but it's Majestic Oak Vineyard. Now, we have one of those. We have a Majestic Oak Orchard, no, Majestic Oak Winery here in the state of Ohio. But this is Majestic Oak Vineyard. I don't think you can get his wine in Ohio. I don't. They have all sorts of rules about crossing state lines and stuff like that. And I don't think he's in the state of Ohio yet, unless I sell you a bottle. I have several. Well, no, I don't have very many left. I'm down to two bottles of wine. We get a case, and it'll last us a year. All right. Well, I hope you're having a good day today. I'm talking about a lot of stuff that you probably don't care about. And Ted hadn't gotten back yet, so we're going to head over. He's going to head out with Scott here momentarily. They're going to go to lunch together. And when they're doing that, I'll be hosting Swap Shop. And I hope I can sell some stuff for you. We had a pretty good day last week. We had, I think, three or four, maybe five people that called in. And we had probably an equal number of mailed in notices, press notices and stuff like that. And it looks like I have two or three this week. So I need calls. So if you've got something that you want to sell, you know, you got a toaster oven, or you've got anything that doesn't require a registration, a state or a federal registration. You know, like we don't do cars, and we don't do houses, and we don't do guns, and we don't do boats and stuff like that. If you have to register it, we don't do them. It's just too complicated. I'm not sure whether we can do it or not. We just don't, because it's just too complicated. We'd love to have you call in 740-383-9944, and we'll be starting that in about 19 minutes after we take our 15-minute break for news, weather, sports, information, all that sort of stuff. And we'll hopefully we'll have several people to call. But if we don't, I have some more trivia about Labor Day. I might even break into a question, a Family Feud question, if it gets a little grim around here as far as phone calls go. You're listening to Glenn Coble, and the show is on the air, and we're on the air for another 3 minutes and a half, and then we will be going to our 15-minute break, and then we'll do Swap Shop. Let's see if I got one more question I can ask here. Ah, here's another one. The Labor Day hashtag. Now, you and I, if you're as old as I am, you probably don't know what a hashtag is. I know what it looks like, but I don't know what it does. But the Labor Day hashtag has been used on Instagram 1,457 times. Interestingly enough, the Kim Kardashian hashtag has been used four times as much. three times as much. Sorry about that. I miscalled that. I wouldn't know what it does. Someday I'm going to have to sit down at my computer and type in that number sign, which is called hashtag, and type either Labor Day or Kim Kardashian and see what it takes me to. I hope it doesn't take me to a bad place. You got to be careful when you're messing around with the computers. We've had calls in here where people will say, well, I was just I just saw on my computer that I owed somebody some money don't respond to those. If you don't know the person that's sending that, and you can find out who's sending it, just go up at the top of the page and look by who's sending it. Now, it may say this is being sent by, you know, Fifth Third Bank, but look beyond that, because then it'll have like a backslash and it'll have something else. If it isn't something you recognize, don't mess with it. As a matter of fact, when I worked at a bank or at a credit union, I told people that would call in that were struggling with things like that, if you don't get a letter from the credit union, or if you don't hear specifically from me, don't respond. Be very careful. There are a lot of crooked people out there that are trying to get your numbers, and they're trying to take your money and use it, as opposed to you using your money. And money is a short commodity for some of us. I'm on Social Security, so I make lots of money. Fortunately, we have some money that we got before, and Carol and I are not in a bad way. We're comfortable. I hope you are too, and I hope you're having a beautiful morning. And when we come back, I will be doing Swap Shop, and I guess we're not going to hear from Ted. He and Scott are going to lunch, and I bet they're going real soon, so I'm pretty sure we won't hear from them. All right, well, you have a great day, and make sure that you treat your buddies and your girlfriends and boyfriends really friendly. All right? I'll talk to you in Swap Shop.
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, LP, Marion, Ohio. For legendary Emmy Award-winning actor, best known for his role of Lou Grant on The Mary Tyler Moore Show, Ed Asner.
You have always lived a very public life, certainly since Mary Tyler Moore. Is that tough when people constantly come up to you, say hello, want to take your pic, especially with cell phones? Everybody's got a picture, a phone. And is anything private?
No, not much is private, but I'm a publicity so I drop my pants at the slightest provocation. I shouldn't. I should have been more circumspect in how I deal with the public. But I just so want to be loved.